O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to We the Forgiven by Langalihe Mbahambi and Ndumiso Manana. A soulful arrangement walks through the text of Matthew 18 with references to Psalm 103 and the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Prayerful reflection with solo voice and keyboard contrasts the chorus with its stronger percussive elements and gospel choir vocals.
Forgiven must forgive. With no reservation, no limit. The debt we owed and could not pay was laid on him who had no blame. Have mercy, mercy was his plea. Father, forgive them, punish me. He gave his life that we may live. So we the forgiven must forgive. Forgive us as we forgive them that trespass again. Us. Forgive us as we forgive them that trespass against us. Let not our ransomed hearts forget.
From the west, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the east is from the west, are the deep from We the offenders must believe the blood spilled on the mercy seat. Was there sufficient recompense to cleanse us of all unrighteousness? Get up, you're free, go sin no more.
Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. How many times are we required to forgive an offense? Well, according to Jesus, there should be no limit to our forgiveness. And he explains that truth with a parable. The parable begins with a king who is looking to settle accounts with his servants. And one servant is brought to his attention, one who owed him 10,000 talents. All right, so what is a talent? Well, in Jesus' time, a talent was a monetary unit, the equivalent of 20 years' wages for the average laborer. So one talent is the equivalent of 20 years' wages. So then 10,000 talents would take 200,000 years to earn. 200,000 years' wages. In today's U.S. dollars, we're talking about a debt of about $400 billion. So this king is trying to settle debts, and here he has a guy who owes him $400 billion, which would take him about 200,000 years to earn. So what does the servant do? We read in verse 26, so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Interesting move. There's some good elements here. The servant falls on his knees and implores the king for mercy. Right, this is the exact posture that the servant needs to have before the king. He's completely at the king's mercy. His life and the lives of his family are in the king's hands. He humbles himself. And this is good. He's good until he opens his mouth. And what does he say? Have patience with me and I will pay you everything. King, just be patient. In 200,000 years, we will be all good. It's absurd, and that's the point. See, in this parable, we are all the servant. Our sin has created a debt that we cannot even begin to imagine the scope of. And the story continues. Out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Wait, what? Thinking once again about the world of the story, a king has a servant who owes him $400 billion, more than the gross national product of 80% of the countries of the world today. This man obviously cannot pay. And what does the king do? He forgave him the debt, an act which would have destabilized any kingdom. Now, a question worth considering is, what happens to the debt? Does it just disappear? Not at all. Instead, the king, out of grace, has decided to absorb the cost so that his servant wouldn't have to. And I think this reality shows us an important element of forgiveness. The pastor Tim Keller writes, "Forgiveness is a form of voluntary suffering. In forgiving rather than retaliating, you make a choice to bear the cost." Now the story continues in verse 28. "But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.'" So this servant has just been released from a debt that would have taken him 200,000 years to repay. He goes out and he finds one of his fellow servants who owes him 100 denarii, which isn't nothing. It's akin to 20 weeks of pay at the time, roughly $12,000 in today's terms. But to put things in perspective, it amounted to 1/600,000th of the debt owed by the first servant. Well, the second servant pleaded, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." See, this would have been a challenge, but it wouldn't have been impossible for the second servant to pay the first. Now, one would assume that having just been released from a truly insurmountable debt, the first servant would have exhibited grace, the type of mercy he had just received. But one would be wrong. The story continues, "He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt." There's something deeply wrong and troubling with that picture, isn't there? It's ridiculous. It's unjust. And the parable continues, "When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Well, Jesus agrees. The acts of this first servant are wicked. They are unjust. And the point of this parable is to communicate to us, it is ridiculous, it is unjust when we withhold forgiveness, considering the debt that we've been released from. Tim Keller again helpfully explains, "Jesus' final sentence means that divine mercy should change our hearts so that we are able to forgive as God forgave us. If we will not offer others forgiveness, it shows that we did not truly repent and receive God's." So take some time today to hear and internalize the radical forgiveness that you've received, and pray that the Spirit would use that truth to change your heart, enabling you to forgive others. Let's close now with this prayer from Leo the Great. "Beloved, let us give thanks to God the Father through his Son in the Holy Spirit, because in his great love for us, he took pity on us. And when we were dead in our sins, he brought us to life with Christ, so that in him we might be a new creation. Let us throw off our old nature and all its ways. And as we have come to birth in Christ, let us renounce the works of the flesh. Amen."